from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like that man said, it is time for the Derek Shelton Show. Pirates manager on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Shelty, how are you today?
Doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing well. Coming off a very interesting game last night. Fun game to watch. And McCutcheon keeps establishing himself just as a story this season. Destiny's Child even got the number of home runs wrong last night in a tweet. And McCutcheon called him out, so he was still alert after the game, Shelty. But he's shown more power than maybe I thought he would have this year. What can you say about McCutcheon and his year? And, man, he crushed that ball last night just when you needed it.
Yeah, he did. He did. He's had big at-bats for us all year. This guy knows how to hit, and he does a really good job of picking pitches, sitting on pitches, and he's been able to impact the baseball this year, especially when he's been healthy. You know, I think the most important thing for us over the last month is going to be just making sure we monitor, you know, his days so we can get the best out of him, because I think when he's healthy, he's been really productive.
What was he sitting on last night?
Well, on last night, I'm not going to tell you. I mean, he hit a fastball, but I'm just talking in general. I mean, you're making a comment about how good a hitter he is. I'm just saying the fact that, you know, as he's a veteran and is able to adjust and watch pitchers and watch how they react, I mean, he does a very good job of working through the at-bat.
I think one of the things about him, and you talked about his approach and all of that, you got a number of young players. Is the older guy, older veteran guy like him, mentoring younger guys, teaching them sort of how to, you know, basically be a professional, really good baseball player for a long time? Does that stuff really happen in locker rooms and clubhouses, or is that more of a creation for guys like us to talk about?
No, I think it probably, in Kutch's case, yeah, he is talking about it, and I think guys watch, and he does a really good job leading by example. You know, some of the things that he does, you know, you wish you could teach other guys, but he does have conversations, just like Brian has conversations with people, and, I mean, even IKF, now that we've added him into the group, having conversations. Some of the situations there is, you know, you can talk about things, but being able to do them is a completely different thing. So I wouldn't say that it doesn't happen. I would say that it's probably talked about more just in generality throughout sports, that because certain guys can just do certain things. And Kutch is one of those guys that's been able to do things because of his ability for a long period of time.
Pirates manager Derek Shelton on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline. Shelty, one of the big news items from the last week is removing Bednar from the closer role. Was that the type of conversation where he pretty much knew what was coming, or how did that go? What was his reaction?
I think his reaction was more, I mean, obviously there's frustration there. I mean, David hasn't pitched as well as he would have liked this year. But it was more of, hey, we need to get you right, because we've seen over the last couple of years how effective he can be in that role and how good he's been in that role. I mean, he's a 2-time All-Star. So the most important thing was just the conversation of initially, hey, this is going to happen. And then second, like, what are the things that we're going to focus on to get you back to, you know, you being as good as you were before?
Going back to spring training with him, I think it was maybe right lat tightness, something like that, and then he went on the DL with a oblique strain. Is there anything you would have done differently coming out of spring training? Was he hurt coming into the season?
He was not hurt coming into the season, and I think if you go back and look at how we handled him the first couple of weeks, we were very careful with him in terms of making sure that he was healthy. You know, it's just one of those things where this has been a year where his execution hasn't been what it was. So to say, like, we would have done anything different, I think we will always review the process. But he was healthy coming out of spring training.
You had Dennis Santana close last night. Just was it a matchup thing, or is this something you're going to look at? I mean, that whole decision and how it came about and what it means.
Yeah, it was a matchup thing. I mean, Chappie got the top of their order in the top of the eighth, and ended up getting, because he walked Suzuki, ended up getting Bellinger too for four hitters. And then we had a stretch of three right-hand hitters in a row. We liked Dennis in that spot. And Dennis has been good for us since we've acquired him. I mean, he's done a really good job. He's probably been one of our most effective relievers over the last month. And so, yeah, it was just a matchup thing. As we go forward, I think it'll be more of a matchup thing, you know, depending on Chap's availability and where we're going to use him in the game. I mean, he closed the game the other day in Cleveland, so that's an opportunity too. But I think matchups and score will definitely dictate that.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Shelty Chapman had a little bit of a slump, as all really most relievers do, maybe all in a given season. But since the beginning of May, this guy has been unbelievable. In May, 18 strikeouts in 10 innings. In June, 15 in 10 innings. In July, 13 in 9. In August, 22 in 12. What's the key to his success at his age? Is it just one of those arms that he's blessed with, or something that he does in the off seasons? He's as good as I've ever seen him. Plus, he hit 105 in a game.
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple really components to that, Sark, that you bring up. The first one is the first answer to that question is just, you know, being in the zone. When we've seen Chappie not be effective is when he hasn't thrown strikes. That's been, you know, the thing that stood out. The stuff is always there. It's just been harnessing it. And, you know, he had a little blip, and as we've talked about, relievers always seem to have some stretch of, you know, during a season, it's very rare where there's not. I think the Chap's point is, you know, something that you talk about there. The way this guy trains, not only during the offseason, but during the season also, is something like I've never seen before. I mean, it's unbelievable how strong this guy is. It's unbelievable the amount of time, especially for a pitcher, that he spends in the weight room. And I think contributes a lot to his success. I mean, you would not know that he's, whatever, I don't know, 37, 38 years old, and how he takes care of his body. And I think as we've seen as the year goes on, that strength in and of itself has allowed him to continue to get better.
You've obviously gotten a chance now to see for probably a week, maybe a little bit longer, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa play short. What are your thoughts? I mean, do you see a guy who might be able to be a long-term solution at shortstop, or does he have work to do? I mean, what are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I thought he's done a nice job. So, yes, to your question, I think he does have the ability to be a long-term option at shortstop, and he has been very consistent, and I think we got exactly what we thought we were going to get when we acquired him.
How about early returns on Cruz in center field? What are you seeing? Jumps on balls, all that stuff?
Yeah, he really hasn't been challenged very much on balls in the gaps. He's done a nice job. I mean, he's made nice decisions on where to throw the ball to the right base, which I think is something that we talked about, you know, early on, that we knew as you learn that position. You know, he's had one ball against the wall that he didn't catch. Brian didn't catch. It wasn't a catchable ball. And, you know, he kind of stumbled going into it, but there was nothing there. So overall, it's been initially, I think it's been good. We just need to continue to get him reps.
That's the key is in these next, 29, 30 games. Obviously, you want to win every game, but are you looking also maybe trying to figure out what you have in some of these other players, or even a guy like Cruz at center? I mean, is there a part of this is where you're trying to get a discovery of what you have with some of these positions?
I think, especially at Cruz's point there, Paul, it's really important. You know, one of the reasons that we decided to move him when we moved him was to get game reps and to make sure that we got him, you know, as much volume as possible. Now, the one thing that we have to be thoughtful of is, as you guys know, you go from playing the infield to the outfield, there's different running involved, there's different moves involved. And when you do that during the season, we have to be thoughtful about his legs and how they react. So giving him a DH day or giving him a day off will be something that we will, continue to monitor. But getting him reps is something that's really important for us.
Shalty, we've seen Mitch Keller for the second straight year struggle late. When we talk about off-season training and things like that with a guy like Chapman, is there something that needs to be looked at in how he prepares for the rigors of a season? Because now it seems to be a pattern with two straight years.
Yeah, I think that's something we will definitely talk about. We need Mitch to finish strong. The last two outings have been probably as strong as we would have liked. I mean, the Texas one was a good one. It's something that, as we've talked about with like Skeens and Jones and finishing a major league season and how you go into the off season, it is definitely something that we will talk about. But, he still has, what, four or five starts left. And we need to make sure that he finishes those strongs. But, how we train or what we do going into the off season, I think is going to be an important conversation for us.
Well, speaking of Jared Jones last night, much better than his first, his first start back. Did you see a lot more of what you come to expect from him last night than maybe you did the first time the first time out after he came off the injured list?
Yeah, well, I think the first time he was a little rusty, kind of overthrew a little bit, got out of his delivery. I think we know from watching Jared pitch that he's full scale all the time. I mean, he's going right after people. The first one, it looked like he was a little amped up. Last night, I thought he threw the ball extremely well. I mean, he gave up the homer to Dansby Swanson. The other run he gave up was after Pete Crow Armstrong beat out the double play ball that probably there's about three guys in the game that actually could have. So he executed a pitch and then, half got a ball down the line. But overall, I thought Jared was better. The usage of his slider was better that he mixed in. He used it a little bit more than he did the first outing. So, yeah, it was more what we were accustomed to early in the year.
Henry Davis, since he came back, let's see, on the 26th. I think he's 2-for-16, four strikeouts, no walks, no extra base hits. What are you seeing? What did he work on, and what's still not happening for him?
Yeah, well, he had a good swing last night on a ball that was a base hit. He had a good swing in Cleveland the other day that actually I thought was going to be a possible double or homer. I think the most important thing is, there is more contact. A lot of the time before when he came back, there wasn't as much contact. So I think we're working in the right direction. He's very similar to, the case of we've got to get him reps. We got to see, what's going on. And as we've talked about with other people, like specifically Joey Bart in previous weeks on this show, sometimes, this timetable is it's not linear. Everyone expects it to be like, okay, he's going to come to the big leagues and go. So, we just need to be patient a little bit with Henry, and, we feel like we really got a good player here still.
How much of what's going on with your bullpen has been health-related, and how much of it has been sort of execution-related? You guys went through a real slump there for about 2 or 3 weeks where your bullpen was really struggling. Was some of that health related, or was it just not making pitches? Have you been able to put your finger on all that?
Well, I think if you looked at it a full scale, it would be we didn't make pitches. We had some games that we were winning in the seventh, eighth, and ninth, and didn't make pitches. So yeah, I think that if we were targeting one thing, that would be execution. Specifically, like in totality of the full group. Now, we did have some guys that, we just got Holderman back. We've missed Baruchy for the entire year. There were some injuries mixed in there, but on probably the larger scale, it was more the fact of execution of pitches.
Back to Davis and the catching situation. First thing, do you anticipate Endy to get any major league at-bats this year?
I don't think we've talked about that yet. I mean, we're still seeing how his rehab's going to go, and then we'll kind of bank that off that.
And then it would appear a logjam at catcher with Endy, Henry Davis, and Joey Bart. If you had to pick one of those guys right now and imagine them at a different position, who would it be? And could you imagine Joey Bart as a first baseman?
Well, I don't – imagining that, I mean, Endy has played other positions, so he has that ability. Joey has never played first. You know, it is not something that in the short term we have discussed. I mean, having a logjam at catcher is probably a good situation for us because of the state of catching in the game. And if we have a logjam that we think we need to move someone or that we think they're a viable option someplace else, then we will, you know, discuss that when it comes to it.
The September 1 came and went. You made your decisions to, you know, who you're going to use your very limited expanded numbers of for your roster. How did that all come about? Like, you know, what were you considering when you made those decisions?
Well, it was really, I mean, honestly, it was a little easier for us because Kutch was on the IL. And he came off, and Borucki and Holderman were on the IL, and they came off. So we were in a situation where we had guys that we thought were going to be part of our team that were not with us, so they just ended up being activated.
Shelton, when he gets to September, and everybody's saying, you know, let's see the young guys, let's see some of the young guys, how does somebody in your position, which some may describe as a precarious position, needing to win games in September – how do you walk that line between you putting out what you think is the best lineup to win a game and you putting out younger guys so they get a chance to develop?
Well, in our case right now, I mean, we're playing the younger guys that are here. And, I mean, our goal is to win every game and as many games as possible. So that's the way I'm approaching it. In terms of the younger guys, if we did make a decision where we were going to bring up, you know, other prospects or other people that, you know, we were going to take a look at, then we would have probably a different conversation. But I think right now with the group we have, you know, we're getting those younger guys the reps that they need.
And that's that. But is that always a delicate balance? Because you do have some old, you know, veterans, some older guys that have been here, you know, all year that have contributed, obviously. You know, that is that a tough balance at times to have those conversations with some of those guys that, hey, listen, we need to take a look at some of these younger guys?
Yeah, with the veteran guys that maybe aren't going to get as many reps, yeah, you definitely have that conversation with them and explain to them. And I think the other thing that's important is, you know, while the AAA season's going on, it's a situation where we need to make sure people are getting reps. I mean, we're not going to have some of those young guys come to the big leagues and just not play. And like I said in the previous question is right now the guys that we feel like we're getting the reps to are the guys that need them.
Skeens tonight, we've seen him have some pretty interesting games against the Cubs. Are there any limits on him going in tonight, or if things are going well, can he go to, let's say, 100 pitches or more?
Yeah, I think as we've talked about, we're monitoring Paul the rest of the way. We're not going to come out and say what it is or how much it is just because, you know, we feel that's a competitive advantage on the other side. But, you know, just hoping for him to go out and continue to have another good start against the Cubs.
Shelty, we appreciate the time. Good luck tonight.
All right, guys. Thanks. Have a good week.
Thank you, man.
So, Skeens tonight, that's going to be interesting. I mean, I understand what they're saying. All it would take, by the way, is for his agent to call the Pirates and say either he's done, he's, you know,
yeah,
or limit him,
right.
We want to preserve him, or the opposite. And you kind of got to go with that if you're the team, don't you?
Probably at this point, you're not making a case that you're trying to win games now, even though you are trying to win games. But I don't know. I tend to think that he's a gamer.
Yeah, me
too.
He's
a guy that wants to play. I think he would be very upset if you said, listen, we are going to, you know, limit you or shut you down or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's just the game has changed so much. Certainly since we both were a kid. We're about the same age. Like, he already has been taken out of a no-hitter, Paul,
yep,
this year. And I would have taken him out too, I guess, but maybe I'm just brainwashed.
At this point,
I never would have thought of it 25 years ago. No. He has a no-hitter. Let him pitch.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I think right now you've got a problem, really. You've got a problem now because you're not really in a race. So you want to make sure you want to make sure for real that you continue to build him up and build his arm strength up and all that so that next year, you know, if he, I don't even know where he's at innings wise, but say he's 120 innings this year, you know, getting to 150 or 160 next year is a lot easier. So you have to do that. I get that. But it's tough. It's tough because they're not really playing for anything. So if he decided that he wanted to be shut down, I guess you would have to shut him down.
Man, the way the season has unfolded, and I'm not just talking about the collapse. Like when they collapsed in 11 and 12, it was still a bad feeling if you go back to 2012. But at least you were saying they have some young pieces here in obviously McCutcheon's an MVP type guy, Neil Walker, Alvarez, Gerrit Cole is on the way. You had those pieces. Here you have Skeens and Jones for sure and Keller, although he's faltered lately. But man, the way that this season has unfolded, Paul, do you have a closer for next year?
And that's a big question. And yeah. The biggest part about it is, if you really think about it, you kind of believed that Bednar was going to be your closer for the long haul.
For sure.
And I guess you will probably go into next season with the idea that maybe he, you know, will figure it out and get it back together. But, boy, if he doesn't.
And then what? Because yeah. Chapman's going to be gone.
And we saw this year, you know what we saw this year? How quickly your team can unwind if your bullpen is bad.
Oh, yeah. Holderman looked like a closer in waiting. He was an all-star candidate. He just didn't struggle. He fell apart. And then there's the key Brian Hayes dilemma.
Right.
And then there's your prodigy shortstop is no longer a shortstop. And then there's your number one overall pick in the country doesn't look viable as a major league hitter in Henry Davis. Well, what do you do with him? There's so many issues and problems.
No, there's no question. But like I said, I think amazing things to me is during that losing streak, you know, they lost a couple of games late because the bullpen, because of Holderman. Remember, they lost like three or four games because of Holderman?
Yeah.
It seemed like that sent them into like a tailspin for like at least 2 or 3 weeks. And then they came out of it and it was like, well, now we're completely out of the race.
Right. And it would be another thing, too, if you said, all right, this all fell apart, the questions we just mentioned, but now they get to dip more into this deep stocked farm system from all those years of tanking. And then you look at the post-deadline farm system rankings at MLB.com, and the Pirates come in at, what, 20-something? I think this is Jim Callis at MLB.com. 20th. That's where they come in. Paul, how are you only 20th? After 5 years of tanking, I know a couple guys have graduated, but how are you only 20th?
The one organization like that that does rankings like that has them 27th.
Baseball America.
Yes, they're 20th, I think, according to, yeah.
And then I see Tampa Bay's number one.
Right.
And they've had a little bit of an off season, but what they did was stock up at the deadline. Minnesota's good. They're number two. The Orioles are great. They right. still have the number three
and think about,
farm system.
Think about
Cleveland.
Think about all the Dodgers. Right. Think about all the guys they've brought up.
How do the Dodgers have the fifth-ranked farm system? Yeah. All they do is trade prospects.
Which is why I don't buy the idea that somehow, well, because, you know, the rationalization was, well, they brought up Skeens and Jones, and that's why it's skewed. Well, okay, or the Orioles have brought up 19 guys.
Yeah.
And they seem to be doing okay still, too.
The Dodgers are fifth? That's depressing.
Well, again, it's people talk about their money, and obviously their money is a huge, huge part of their success. But look at how that team's farm system. and how they draft and how they develop guys.
It's unbelievable,
especially their international scouting.
Right.
That's where they get a lot of these guys.
Yeah, and that's why you just saw a bunch of Pirate guys in that department get fired.
And they're drafting guys in the 20th to 30th ranking. I mean, total in terms of the draft, position-wise. And they're making second-round pick stars. A lot of their best pitchers are all back end of the first round, second-round picks.
They got five of the top 100 prospects. That's more than the Pirates. And then Jim Callis writes at MLB about the Dodgers. We write this every time we do system rankings, but the Dodgers never stop winning or developing prospects. 12th consecutive playoff appearance, and they graduated three top 100 prospects that are on their team right now, and they have five more on the way, plus an incredible wave of teenage talent just getting started. Then he names three shortstops and three outfielders. How are you ever going to catch up? They're spending $1 trillion on players, and they're completely lapping you in prospects, even though that's what you said.
That's the embarrassing thing.
It really is, and it's just, it's incredibly depressing. I don't know what happens with Key Brian Hayes, David Bednar. Like, Hayes and Bednar, those were two guys that you depend on to at least be good this season, and they were both horrendous. To me, they're the two biggest disappointments on the team, I guess, with Henry Davis. But he didn't even have a track record to go on. They did.
Right. Well, again, that's why circling all the way back to one of our six-pack items, when we talk about, you know, firing, is Derek Shelton, you know, fired or whatever, you know, Dejan reported or whatever. If you're going to separate and asked me to pick the most to blame for the state of the Pirates, is Ben Cherington, isn't it? Just all that stuff you just read off
Yeah, which by extension is Bob Nutting, though, because he hired him.
But what I'm saying is, if you're going to fire somebody for exactly all that stuff that you were just talking about.
Yeah. Yes, it's Cherington.
Absolutely.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We used to bring him in with Destiny's Child music. Those were the days. Now we just bring him in. His name is Andrew Destin from the Post-Gazette. Do we have him yet? Yes. Momentarily here. We just had Shelty. And in case you missed it last night, Andrew Destin reported Andrew McCutchen as having a certain amount of home runs, I don't know, over the past few years. And McCutchen himself fact-checked Destiny's Child, who then made a correction. We all make mistakes. We get that. I've made a few in the newspaper business. So has Paul. But what did you think when McCutchen himself weighed in Destiny's Child?
Oh, man, Jeff. First off, thanks for always having me on. It was I was laughing pretty good. I just filed my story, and I was including the note, and I was like, you know, second most home runs in a season since 2018, most since 2021. I put the story correctly, and then I'm tweeting out my story, and I see on Twitter that all these people are in my mentions, quote tweeting me. I'm like, why is anything getting traffic? Like, I never get that many likes or anything on a tweet. And I see McCutchen had ratioed me, as the kids say, and I was just laughing because I was like, oh, man, I got the year wrong. I was off by one, an innocent typo, but it made for some fun banter. And I'm sure it'll make for a fun conversation today in the clubhouse. He got me pretty good with that one.
Paul, Destiny's Child, a few weeks ago, went to Lake Tahoe with his family. Have you been there?
Yes.
You have?
I've been to Lake Tahoe. It's beautiful.
I want to go there. And then he was kind enough to text me afterward where to go, places to go in Lake Tahoe, how to get there.
You were on the, was it Nevada side or the California side?
Nevada side, yeah. We have a buddy of mine from high school that I play basketball with. His family's got access to a house out there and let us use it. And it's beautiful for like the sunsets because you got it setting over on that west side. So it's awesome there on the Nevada side in Tahoe. I can't recommend it enough.
It's beautiful. In fact, that's where they have that golf tournament every year, the pro-am with the American whatever it is. It's a big event every year.
Yeah, the one with Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Yeah, Steph Curry and all those guys pulling up. Fun time. We didn't play there, but we have played there before. It's a nice course, but it's not too expensive. You can play at it for a reasonable rate. I want to say you could get 18 in for like 50, 60 bucks at a course that they use for a pro-am for guys like that. Like it's not a bad setup there. Definitely recommend it as a family vacation or any vacation spot.
It's a beautiful course, and there's a number of holes that are along the water that are just beautiful.
Mm.
So, yes.
I thought Destiny's Child was going to pipe in there. Yeah. And say something. No, it's okay.
I was trying to catch on. I was like, oh, yeah, I mean, agreed. Beautiful holes along the water. You can't go wrong with being on the water. I mean, even us, we boated one day, and it was just a true blast, or flooring it with my dad behind the wheel. Like,
that's awesome.
Didn't know he had his sea legs, but there we go.
In fact, the setting is so beautiful that I stood behind Charles and watched Charles Barkley hit. And it actually even made his swing look reasonably good. That's how beautiful the setting is.
Oh, man. I saw Charles Barkley at the Lemieux thing year after year. It was a tough watch.
Yeah.
But he was great. Anyway, Destiny's Child, what is happening here? Is Derek Shelton going to make it till next season? Is Ben Cherington going to make it next season? You have ears on the ground over there. You know a lot of people. You cover the team at home and sometimes on the road. What's your gut feel?
My gut feel would be that it's more likely than not that those guys return. I've had no inclination one way or the other on either of them, which leads me to believe that if there's, you know, nothing truly concrete or set in stone happening or being rumored, that it's too early for us to speculate anything. It's too early for us to speculate anything besides staying the course, which maybe is not what fans want to hear. But at this time, you know, there's not any true rumblings we're hearing. It's probably still a point of, hey, there's a month's worth of games left, 24, 25 games left. Like, these still, as much as the team is out of serious postseason contention, right? Like, they're not going to make the postseason. That's nothing new. But the idea that there's still very much stuff to play for in terms of overall win-loss record relative to last year, is it improvement? Is it a step back? Like, I think those are all important data points for determining, like, what is the next step? I think those are very important parts of this puzzle, and why I don't think anything is set in stone in terms of direction, whether that's GM, whether that's manager, whether that's coaching staff, whether that's people on the minor league side, you know, coordinators and coaches and managers there. So I think everything is still to be played for here these next few weeks, not just at the major league level, but throughout the organization.
So you really think that what happens the next 2 or 3 weeks is actually going to be relevant to what happens in the offseason?
I would say so, and I think it's on the individual level as well as the coaching side. I think that, for instance, like I'm looking up at the stats Rowdy Tellez has this year where that OPS is up over 700. You know, if he continues to swing a hot stick, maybe that really factors into the possibility of him coming back. Defensively speaking, what do you get out of O'Neill Cruz in center field? Is it adequate? Is it unplayable? Is it better than expected? That's a key data point for determining how they approach free agency. You know, what do they do with Brian Reynolds? Does he remain in left field? Does he improve defensively down the stretch and give them, you know, the possibility that, hey, that's somebody that you can continue to pencil into left field? Or do you need to consider a position change there? How does Henry Davis look down the stretch? Does Jack Suwinski come back up? Do Billy Cook or Nick York get up here? You never want to truly call, at least in my opinion, I don't believe this is meaningless September baseball. I think that there's a ton to play for in terms of people's jobs and livelihoods, and also on the side of how do you construct the 2025 roster. It's a very different scenario, I'd say, than a lot of teams that I've either observed or covered for September baseball. Like, this is one that there is still so much up in the air, and it's not just a matter of how many innings do Jared Jones or Paul Skenes get to? I think there are a lot of position battles in terms of the 2025 season that maybe they're not up in the air right now, but they can bolster some cases right now for sure.
Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We're talking to Andrew Destin from the Post-Gazette. You can read his stuff at postgazette.com. Our baseball coverage in this segment presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Believe it or not, Destiny's Child, we're down to a minute because we got to get to Tomlin on time. You ready for a very quick game of back and forth? Let's do it.
Yes.
McCutchen back next year?
Yes.
Sort out Rodriguez, Davis, Bart by position for next year.
Davis, Rodriguez, or Davis catcher, Bart catcher, Rodriguez first base, and then eventually catcher.
Holy birdseed. Who's going to be the starting shortstop?
To start, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, don't rule out Leover Peguero.
Give me the rotation at the start of next season.
Skenes, Jones, in no order, Skenes, Jones, Keller, Ortiz, and Falter.
How about Oviedo?
Eventually, but he will need some time to get works back in there coming off TJ.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks so much.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.